to us.
One of my favorite organizations that we support here at Fellowship Bible is, John says, Evantail. And they have three statements in their mission statement. And one of them is to declare the gospel clearly and simply. Number two is that they activate believers all around the world. And number three is to prepare the next generation to reach the lost. Evantail was started about 35 years ago by Mr. Larry Moore. And Mr. Moore saw at least two needs that the body of Christ needed. And one of them was that he saw a need to train leaders and lay people in personal evangelism and evangelistic speaking. Number two, he saw a need for a clear presentation of the gospel in foreign countries. So Evantail supports the body of Christ in one specific part of the Christian life, and that's through evangelism. And he does that in several different ways, but two things I'd like to share with you is they have training seminars that are designed to help believers to fully understand what the gospel is and how to tell it in a clear and simple way. And we see that especially a really big need in the body of Christ today is what is the gospel, and then how do you present it in a clear and simple way. And so they have training seminars that's designed to help to do that. The other thing that they are really strong in is in gospel tracts. And the tract that we use here at Fellowship Bible is called May I Ask You a Question. And this is a really good tract that is just presents the gospel in a good, simple way. And it's to help you to maybe start a conversation with somebody on how to present the gospel. This is printed in 25 different languages. And when we went to Haiti in July, we were able to get this printed in Creole. And we were able to give out close to 1,000 tracts. So this is a really good tract. And I would trust that you would take advantage of this that the church provides. Because this is a good one. They also have other resources. They have books and CDs, DVDs, workbooks and videos. And it's all with the purpose of training people of how to present the gospel in a clear and simple way. They're getting ready to celebrate their 35th year of Evantail. And so I would encourage you to continue to pray for them. Use their resources. You can get online. They have a webpage, and it will give you more information on how to get a hold of a lot of the resources they have. So, and also just encourage you to take advantage of these tracts that the church provides. And the whole purpose is that it will help us to become better effective witnesses and be able to present the gospel in a clear, good way.
Thank you.
Good morning. We want to continue with these songs of thanksgiving. If you'll take your hymnals and turn to number 21, we're going to start with Stand Up and Bless the Lord. Number 21, if you'll stand with me.
Stand up and bless the Lord, ye people of His choice. Stand up and bless the Lord your God with heart and soul and voice. Though high above all praise, above all blessing high, who would not fear His holy name and laud and magnify? Oh, for the living flame from His own altar brought, to touch our lips, our minds inspire, and wing to heaven our thought. God is our strength and song, and His salvation ours. Then be His love in Christ proclaimed with all our ransomed powers. Stand up and bless the Lord. The Lord your God adore. Stand up and bless His glorious name henceforth and evermore.
Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank You for all that You've done for us. We are grateful, and we are also grateful for this day that we get to gather together to worship You and to fellowship together. We pray that You would use this service for Your purposes and bless it. We pray this in Your name. Amen. If you'll turn back now to number 8, we want to continue with Praise to the Lord, number 8.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise Him, for He is thy help and salvation. All ye who hear, now to His temple draw near. Adore.
Thank you. You may be seated. We're going to have Jonathan come now and read our scripture from the day, for the day. It's from Psalm 103.
Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind has passed over it, it is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember his precepts to do them. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, who serve him, doing his will. Bless the Lord, all you works of his, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let's pray. Lord, we do rejoice in you, and we bless you. We are grateful for the works that you have done in our lives and for the things that you are doing even now and for the great things that you will do. We praise you, we trust you, and we pray that we might live our lives in accordance to the great things that you have done in and through us and the great things that you will do if we will follow you and walk with you. Amen.
This morning in Sunday school, we were talking about hymns and setting words to music. And some songs are just so good. Some texts are so good that you have to set them to more than one set of music. And we're gonna hear that text, For the Beauty of the Earth, again later with the choir. So be listening for that. That's a good text, especially for today. Let's turn back in your hymnals now to number 6. Sing praise to God who reigns above. If you'll stand with me, and we'll sing number 6.
Sing praise to God who reigns above, the God of all creation, the God of power, the God of love, the God of our salvation. With healing balm my soul he fills, and every faithless murmur stills. To God all praise and glory. What God's almighty power hath made, his gracious mercy keepeth. By morning glow or evening shade, his watchful eye ne'er sleepeth. Within the kingdom of his might, lo, all is just and all is right. To God all praise and glory. The Lord is never far away, but through all grief distressing, an ever present help and stay, our peace and joy and blessing. As with a mother's tender hand, he lends his own, his chosen band. To God all praise and glory. Thus all my toil some way along, I sing aloud his praises, that men may hear the grateful song my voice unwearied raises. Be joyful in the Lord, my heart, both soul and body bear your part. To God all praise and glory.
Keep your hymnals and turn to the back, number 715. We want to read this Psalm 145 in unison. It's reading number 715. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all he promises, and is the Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving toward all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Thank you. You may be seated.
As Chris said, some songs are just worthy of going over and over and over. And we want, as a choir, to put words to this song that Anna and Sarah played. For all these things, for the beauty of the earth, the beauty of the skies, people, relationships, the Lord's blessing, for all of these, Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. We'll have the choir come and sing now, please. We'll dismiss the children to Children's Church at this time. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord of all, we really do raise to you our hymn of praise. Father, there is nothing that we have not received. Even our very breath, we stand here, we sit here, we sing your praises as a gift that you have given us. I would just pray that you would encourage us and strengthen us, sharpen our focus this morning on what you have done for us. Not only, although we would not minimize it, but not only eternal life and glory forever and ever, but for November 18th, 2007, our day here, our day tomorrow, our day yesterday, cause us to see that you are the giver of all good things and that what you give is good. Open your word to us. Teach us, we pray, in your name. Amen. I hope you got from the selection of hymns and the readings and the special music from the ladies that we are concerned about praising the Lord. And I, those of you who have been here for a while know that I think that Thanksgiving as a holiday is one of the most important holidays for Christians that we have in the year. If you have to place them in order, I suppose Easter would be the day. That is our day, no matter what the world does with it. Easter is our day. But Thanksgiving comes a close second. Thanksgiving is extremely important. And as I get older, day at a time, and I think back to my own life, of the times that when I was not thankful, and I look around and I see other people's lives who are not thankful, I realize more and more, I come to the conclusion more and more that Thanksgiving is more than just giving of thanks. Thanksgiving is perhaps an accurate reflection of what's inside of a person. If I want to know how a person stands with God, one of the most accurate measurements is, how do they give thanks? Or do they give thanks? What a person really believes about God and life is reflected in their giving thanks. I think saying thank you is exceedingly significant. We want to talk about that, and it's not a new message. There's not much new you can say about the giving of thanks. But I want to just talk our way through some passages to cause you perhaps to think honestly about your life and your relationship to God and about God himself. See? And I realize that in our society in which we live, Thanksgiving can be and has been messed up by the world. We make it a secular holiday, a fall break. We fuss over what the pilgrims really did, if they did anything and whatnot. I mean, you know, did they eat turkey or did they eat bald eagle? I mean, you know, we make Thanksgiving some sort of a family tradition. And a lot of you, I know, have traditions that you do on Thanksgiving. And we make it a day for a special football game, perhaps. Or we make it the day that is the day before the start of the real shopping. You know, you ladies have been just warming up over the rest of the year, and the day after Thanksgiving, it really takes off. See, and some of us add a little bit of feeling to the day. It's not just purely business and not just purely secular. We feel. And we emote kind of things, and we go around and I feel so thankful. Reminded of that song, I think it's from the musical Carousel. Our hearts are warm, our bellies are full, and we are feeling fine. And that's Thanksgiving, see. And I would just ask you, what does it mean? What do you mean when you say, I'm so thankful? And what does that mean, really? See? For what? And to whom? See? And unless we put substance to it, it's just nothing. It's like feeling jolly at Christmas. I feel thankful in November, see? And I would ask you as believers, and I'm only speaking to Christians this morning because we have the most to be thankful for. See, is my Thanksgiving just a warm, fuzzy kind of a nebulous little deal that we go through every now and then, or is it a genuine expression of who we are? A genuine expression of our life. Thanksgiving, to be anything at all, needs meaning and not feeling. And so last Sunday, we kind of started talking about Thanksgiving last Sunday night. And we talked out of Romans chapter 1, some of you were here and some of you might remember. And we suggested on the basis of Romans 1 that man is not naturally thankful. The condemnation on mankind, on the human population of this world, is that when they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. They just became futile in their own speculations, and their foolish mind was darkened, and so they invented all these things. And you see that. You see that in this darkened mind that's not thankful, and you see that in society. And we talked a little bit about that last Sunday night. But for those of us who know Jesus Christ as personal Savior, those of us who have recognized our lostness and our helplessness and cried out, God, save me, we are not natural people. We are not of the great mass of humanity, see. We are not natural. We are new natural, if you will, new nature people. And one of the things that we get with our new nature is a reason to give thanks. That's our nature. And I would suggest to you, if you're sitting here this morning and you are not just overflowing with thanksgiving, and these hymns that we sang and the passage that we read and the numbers that the ladies played, and if that doesn't evoke in you this thought that I thank you, God, then you need to check not your thankfulness, you need to check your nature. See? Let it not be said of you that knowing God, they neither gave honor to him as God or gave thanks. See, if you're not giving thanks, then it's a nature problem. And you need to check your nature. See? But I want to walk us through Psalm 145 today, those of us who are believers. Some idea of the new nature way of thinking, see, that adequately reflects our relationship to the Lord that we say we have when we say, I'm a Christian. See? Psalm 145 is a little different. You might not catch it in your Bible. It's one of the few psalms that's not labeled Psalm of David. It's just the Hebrew word for praise. It's just praises. And it starts out, and we're just going to taken big sections, and we're just going to kind of run through, not word for word or verse by verse, but it starts out with the first seven verses of praises. I will, and he's doing this to the Lord, to his God, to the King. See, I will extol you. I will bless you. Verse 2. I will praise your name. See, extol means I will set it on high. See, there are a lot of names out there, and we can appreciate a lot of names, people's names and things' names and organizations, and we can lift them up to a certain level and say, hey, they are worthy of some sort of praise. There are good names out there, but I will extol you, my God, see, above every other name. We are thankful for the pilgrims on First Thanksgiving, however that took place. And we are thankful for the country that they, in essence, founded, or were part of the founding of it. But I will extol God, my God, above all that. See? Better to extol God than to extol, and you know me, I'm an American, but I will extol my God. See, I will lift his name above anything else. Someone says, oh yeah, boy, that's great, and that's wonderful, and that's wonderful. And I stand up and say, let me tell you who's really great. See? Let me tell you who's really great. I will extol you. I lift up your name. I will bless you. Now, when we give blessings, we are wishing something good happens to somebody, that we confer verbally our wishes for their good. See, we can't bless God in that sense. We can't wish that something good had happened to him, you know. But when we bless God, we ascribe all goodness to him. See, you think that's good, someone says. Well, let me tell you about that. And I say, let me tell you, see, I will bless your name. See, I will praise your name, the psalmist says. And that's a recitation of his praiseworthiness. My God is this. My God is this. My God is this. See? And I haven't even begun to say what he's done. It's just who he is, his name. When you say, my God, that's not to be something, oh, you know, just an exclamation of surprise or amazement, like we hear it, oh, you know, that's just, you walk into something, oh my God, you know. No. See, I will praise his name, my God. See, and I will do it forever and ever. Every day for the beauty of the earth. Lord, to thee I raise my hymn of grateful praise. See? And I will tell it to the next generation so that they will not forget. The worst thing that has happened in the Old Testament, and you can read it in the history of the nation of Israel, and you can read it in some of the historical psalms, is that God did this, and the people blessed his name, and they forgot, and the next generation grew up that didn't know it. I mean, the generation after Joshua, I mean, Joshua, you know, right under Moses, and Joshua, and they forgot. See, because somebody did not tell them who God is, how God is. What's he like? Let me tell you about my God. See, I will extol you. I will bless your name. I will praise your name forever and ever. And one generation shall praise your works to another. See, I'll think about you. See, and I will tell the next generation, and I have to work on this too. I will tell the next generation, what has God done? What has God done? And again, do not just minimize, but do not just say this is the only thing that's worth talking about is my salvation. See? That is so vital. You know, we can't minimize it, but I'm just not going to talk to the next generation about God saved me. They say, ho-hum, I heard that 79 times. God saved you. Big deal, kind of, see? I will praise his works. I will declare his mighty acts. Do you know what God did? Whatever it is, what did he do? And you can go back to the creation. And you can go back to the sun rising in the east and coming down in the west and so on. You can go to the flood. You can go to bringing Israel out from Egypt. You can go to sending Jesus Christ on. You can go to raising him from the dead. You can go to your new life. You can go to what he did for you today, this morning, or yesterday, or the day before. In him we live and move and have our being. I made it through Friday, whatever Friday was. I made it through because I live and move and have my being in him. See? What did he do Friday or Saturday or Thursday? See? I'll tell what he did. Verse 5, on the glorious splendor of his majesty and his wonderful works. And that word for wonderful always has the idea of amazement. Amazement that God did that. In verse 6, men shall speak of the power of your awesome acts. And I plead with you all the time, do not use awesome apart from God. The Grand Canyon may be grand, but it does not evoke awe. You do not fall down in fear and reverence and worship. You will not get down with your face to the ground in front of the Grand Canyon. You will not fear to tread carelessly in this world because of the Grand Canyon or the Rocky Mountains or, you know, whatever, or your favorite pizza, see? You will not, see. But before the awesome acts of God, the ones that evoke wonder and amazement, and God did that, see, you will fall down before the Lord on that. Awesome is his word. And I'll tell people how great my God is. And if I have to start with me, that's fine, see. But it's just the world, see. It's the, can you imagine what God has done? See? It's that kind of amazement, see. Who would have thought, see? His greatness. I will tell of your greatness. I mean, verse 7, they shall eagerly utter the memory of your abundant goodness and will shout joyfully of your righteousness. And English is really a poor language. At least English is poor. I mean, the way, you know. We think of what God has done in the past, the memory, see. And I just don't talk about it. And eagerly utter, does that kind of leave you flat? Eagerly utter? I mean, utter is, never mind. The word is pour out. The word is overflow. See. The word is gush. Gush. Now, we don't like gushy people, right? The psalmist said he's going to be a gushy person. In the memory of what God has done, see. It just pour out, see. And I will shout joyfully of your righteousness. And shout joyfully, you know, that's my word. That's the word I love. It's give a ringing cry. Can you imagine you just give a ringing cry? Just yell. See? You don't have to say hallelujah. See? You can if you want. You can just yell. See? Let me tell you about my God, what He has done, what I remember that He has done, and about His abundant goodness. Lord of all, to Thee we raise for all of this, for the beauty of the earth and everything, His abundant goodness. This, by the way, is not a psalm for the hymn Softly and Tenderly, right? Softly and tenderly I'll give a ringing cry. No, see. I'll gush forth. See. Hey, what do you do? How do you feel when you read the seven verses of Psalm 145? Is that the way we are with our God? Or do we say, well, David got carried away again? See? I mean, really? I mean, that's... We have to answer this question. Is this the way I am? Is this the way we are about God? And just in case you say, well, not so sure about that, the psalmist David goes on and says, well, let me tell you some more words that you need to consider about God. In the first thing is about His name and His power of His awesome acts and His greatness and His majesty and all these things. See? He says, now let me tell you some more things about Him. The Lord is gracious. And by the way, you remember reading this verse? We read Psalm 145. And Jonathan read Psalm 103. And if you read Exodus 34 and you read it just over and over and over again, the Lord is gracious. And that does not stop at Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith. This is a much broader word than just by grace are you saved through faith. See, this word Hanan has to do with He is inclined toward me. See, He is turned toward me. I don't have to tap him on the shoulder and say, hey, I'm still here. See, and I don't have to beg, and I don't have to cajole, and I don't have to say, pretty please. See, He acts toward me freely because He is for me. That's the concept of grace here. See? He is not against me. He is for me. The Lord is gracious. The Lord is inclined. He is for me. Now, you may think He's turned against you. That's a lie. See? He is for you. And He's merciful. And that's a word that talks about His affections. And I know we always get into trouble when we try to make God too human and to have feelings. But He has feelings. He's a personal being. And He sees me. And He is tender toward me. He sees me basically miserable and suffering. He sees the results of sin, and He pities me, and He deals with me and my needs, and He deals gently and mercifully. He is not as I am, a very harsh father sometimes. One strike and you're out, and sometimes you're out before you start swinging the bat even on the one strike. See, just you're out. God is not harsh. He's merciful. He's slow to anger. Again, as I, quick-tempered, step out of line, and not so with the Lord. He's long wrath. just slow to anger. By the way, the proof of it, that is, and some of you relate to it as well as I do, the proof of his slow to anger is that I'm still here. See, I'm still alive. Because if he weren't, right? Great in loving kindness. And that word great doesn't mean big. It means more than a lot. More than abundance. More than enough. See? Just great. And loving kindness is his word. I mean, that's what Jonathan read. He crowns me with loving kindness. That's the crowning thing that he puts on my life. His loving kindness. You can read Psalm 136. Everything is his mercy endures forever, King James says. But that word mercy is not mercy, it's loving kindness is forever. See. Jeremiah 31:3 says, he said, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness I have drawn you. Lamentations chapter 3. Thy mercies are new every morning. That's thy loving kindness is new every morning. And it crowns me. That's the way he deals with me. It's his attitude toward me on the basis of our relationship. It's a relationship word. Some of your translations may have steadfast love or covenant loyalty or something. It has to do with we have this relationship, and that's how he deals with me on the basis of that. Mercy and loving kindness and whatnot. It's a marvelous word. And that's your God, see? And that's why the Psalm, David says, I will extol you, O God, my God, see? I will bless your name. I will praise you forever and ever because of what you've done and how you are. And then he caps it off with verse 9. The Lord is good to all. Do you really understand that? And I struggled with this so many years. And you know my story. Do you really know what it means when it says the Lord is good to all? It means that my life is a reflection of the goodness of God. Your life is a reflection of the goodness of God because he is good to all. And it's a good life. Now think of that. It's a good life that I have. It's a good life that you have. Everything comes from a good God. And your present situation, whatever it is from a good God. See, that's a hard one, but that is so important. See, the Lord is good to all. And I need to develop that. I need to understand that. But I moan and I groan. We all do, right? And we argue with God. And we complain. And we question. And we doubt. And we forget. See? I forget sometimes that 30 years ago I was dead. And I'm alive now, see. Forget. And I challenge him, see. If you are God, and if you are good, I mean, can you imagine puny little man challenging God, if you are, see, and if you're so good, then why is this happening to me? See, God is good to all. And I resemble Romans chapter 1, verse 21. I refuse to honor him as God or give thanks. See? Because he does not measure up to my thoughts. And as I look at my life, as I look at my life in the light of some of these phrases in Psalm 145, I say, my life is a wonderful life. But it's not wonderful because of all the things that God has done. The wonder in my life is I wonder that I am not more thankful than I am. That's the real wonder for us. That we see all that. We have all that. We have received all that. And God is just that way to me all the time. And the wonder of my life is that I am not more thankful than I am. And I'm face to face with the question, see, what does my thankfulness really say about my relationship with God? What do I really think of him? And just running real fast through the rest of Psalm 145, starting at about verse 14. Has he really sustained me? Has he really raised me up? Has he really given me my food? Has he really satisfied me? Is he really near when I call? Has he saved me? Has he kept me? Or has he given me up to destruction? Has he left me to my own devices and good luck, John? See you when it's all over, right? Has he thrown me away? Has he just shoved me aside? See? Love the song that the choir sang this year. Like the song that the choir sang last year, some of you remember, about simple praise. Simple praise to the giver and thanks to the one who has given us life and given his son. To the giver of blessing for all of my days, for these simple gifts I give simple praise. And I would just ask you, as I have to go through this exercise myself, as we come into this week where we focus on giving thanks, look at your life right now and say, how has God been? I mean, honestly now, how has God been? Not how do you feel. How has God been? See? Been gracious and merciful and slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness, and good. See? And you might have to start very basically, like I have to sometimes, that I'm still here. I'm still alive. See? And you look around, all, whatever your eyes see, here, and out there, and when you get home, and you look around, all, I have to say, what do I have that I haven't received? See? And when we start thinking that way, really, honestly, we can say, I thank you, God. And I trust that that will help you this week to be thankful to God. Let's pray. Father, just give us eyes to see and a heart to respond. All that we have, for all that we have, we thank you, Lord. That we may honor you as God and give thanks, and that people might see and know what a great God we have. The one whose name we carry. Speak to our hearts, we pray, in your name. Amen. Take your hymnal and turn to Number 557. 557 is just neat. I mean, just a great song. It says, close to a ringing cry, joyfully shout, eagerly utter. See. In thanksgiving, let us praise him. In thanksgiving, let us sing songs of praise and adoration to our gracious Lord and King. And it starts from the first bright light of the morning to every day his love provides us every good and perfect thing. Marvelous song. Sing it. Stand, please. We'll sing all three verses of 557. And then, Steve, would you close in prayer?
From the first bright light of morning to the last warm glow of dusk, every breath we take is sacred, for it is God's gift to us. In thanksgiving, let us praise him. In thanksgiving, let us sing songs of praise and adoration to our gracious Lord and King. In the season of our plenty, in the season of our need, we will find his grace sufficient. We will find his love complete. In thanksgiving, let us praise him. In thanksgiving, let us sing songs of praise and adoration to our gracious Lord and King. Safe within his hand that guides us, hidden in his healing wing, day by day his love provides us every good and perfect thing. In thanksgiving, let us praise him. In thanksgiving, let us sing songs of praise and adoration to our gracious Lord and King.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, this week to come, in all the activities, teach us what it means to praise you, to exalt your name, to be thankful. Lord, we're all faced with, as the hymn writer said, the question, have we found your grace sufficient, your love complete? And I pray, Father, as we evaluate and look at you, look at your word, we may be full of a heart of thanksgiving. Lord, we understand, as Paul wrote, that it's very fitting for your church to give thanks for everything and in all times. Give thanks to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that we are your people, called of your name, blessed of you abundantly. Bless the week ahead, and bless the evening as we come together to express our thankfulness to you. May it be an encouragement and a blessing, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.